We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Take some more of your calls. Now past midnight in St. Louis, Missouri. I guess that's a different day, meaning a long way for Cardinals baseball to pick back up. What was the day? February 22nd for the start of spring training. Tough loss for them. If they could have just got some run. I feel like a lot of people would take this, if it was down to the wire, game seven, they are actually in it, but it just seemed like we got just spanked every game in this series. It just hurts to see the lack of offense. It felt like the Cardinals didn't even have a chance at any point during this series. That's the thing that stings. Text message that came on. See if you can go into the archives. 1985, after the Cardinals lost the World Series to Kansas City, in the comments of Dan Dierdorf and Bob Costas, we'll put it into perspective. Life goes on. Yeah, sure, life goes on. Life goes on. But it doesn't mean life goes on without disappointments. I'll take some more of your calls. In this hour, too, there was another Democratic debate tonight. And normally after the debates, we try to bring on our guests live, Richard Bino and Kristen Arnold, to give us an idea of how the actual candidates handled themselves and then how did the moderators handle themselves. We're going to bring them on tonight, too. It's just going to be a little bit later than usual because, of course, we want to talk Cardinals first. Let me get to Kent, who's calling in first. Hi, Kent.
Hey, Brian. How are you doing this morning?
All right.
Hey, I just want to say that I am so proud of my baseball team, the St. Louis Cardinals. There's no other team in the world, and I just want to thank them for a great season.
So you're actually feeling okay right now?
Well, you know, we all want to win, but it's more about how you participate and how you act. Mm-hmm. And St. Louis, do you remember what was it, 04 when the Boston beat us 4-0, 4-down?
I don't remember. I wasn't living in St. Louis at the time, but yes, I'm familiar with
it. We got swept in the World Series, and we got humiliated.
Yeah.
St. Louis stood up and gave Boston Red Sox a standing ovation.
Oh, okay.
And I was living in Orlando then, around a bunch of Mets fans, and they didn't understand. This is St. Louis October baseball, and it is a grand, grand event. And thank you, boys, this summer. Had a great, great, great year.
Very good. Thank you, Kent, for that. Good night.
You take care.
All right. 436-7900. You can text that line or call in to 800-925-1120. And Brian's calling in from Arnold. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how are you? Do you spell your name with an I or Y?
R-Y-A-N. That's how I spell my name.
You know what? That's good, because I was going to ask you if you saw an eye doctor for if you spelled it with an I. Anyway, I did that to a guy one night. I razzed him, he razzed me, and finally I saw him one more time. I said, hey, make sure you see that eye doctor. He goes, why? I go, you little...
All right, you know, anyway, it's always good when you can start off with a dad joke. So what do you think of the Cardinals?
Well, you know what? I just wish I had the last four callers' abilities to applaud the Cardinals. This is gut-wrenching for me. I played competitive sports my whole life, and man, you didn't even make up a showing. No RBIs until game four. That's just amazing.
It's terrible, isn't it?
And you watch Ozuna, I think it was in the fifth or sixth inning, swing at every one of them in the dirt. You know, if you know he's going to go in the dirt, I only saw a couple players get a couple walks by letting them throw it in the dirt. You know, they were just swinging at everything. I've never seen a Cardinal playoff series anything like it. This was embarrassing.
So you're not taking the positive road in this sense. You're disappointed.
Well, I've always said to everybody, I hate losing more than I love winning.
Oh, okay.
You know, I've been competitive my whole life, and maybe that's a problem. Maybe I need to see a doctor. But, you know,
No, I get it. I get it. You know, I would rather lose in a game seven that was a hard-fought series than get swept in four when you had no chance.
You know, make a showing. You know, and I said something to a guy last night. I said, everybody start bunting. You've got some of the fastest guys in the major leagues on this team. Start bunting. Everybody. Yeah. I mean, it's unorthodox. It's crazy to even think that. But I wonder if you could not get first and second base and then maybe somebody drive in somebody. You're not hitting. Start doing something.
All right.
Stand in front of the ball.
Thanks, Brian. Good to hear from you. Yes. Stand in front of the ball. Go ahead and hit me. If it takes a fastball to the elbow, I don't care. It gets you on base. Kevin, hi.
Yeah, hey, what's going on?
Going all right. What's new, Kevin? Tell me.
Okay, you know, there was a lot of people who kind of got on Mike Schultz a little bit and another radio station based in St. Louis, but they were kind of taking a side and just kind of being sarcastic in a kidding way. But you know what? Mike Schultz has got a very good record, and he is improved very much as he went along in the minors. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure if I was crazy about him getting signed. I thought they should have shopped around a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you look at his track record, he really has done good. Whoever thought we were going to win the division the way the season was going, mm-hmm. and whoever thought we were going to beat the Cubs four games straight.
Yeah.
Who thought that?
That's pretty good.
I was happy if we would have just taken two, you know, and maybe John Mozeliak, he hits his job, they could think about a little bit maybe. But I really think overall we beat the Cubs 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, whatever it was. And we did win the first round. Our bats did go silent. Who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, overall, I hope they don't get on the manager that much because I think Mike Schilt's done very good. If you look at his track record, he's done good. And I was against it when they did sign him. I thought they should have shopped around a little bit more, got somebody more experienced. Who's that manager that was with Texas Ranger? I can't think of his name. They could have got him, I believe, you know.
Oh, but, well, I think if there was one thing, and I do think Mike Schilt did a good job, but I think if there was one thing, it's he sticks to his guns when he should try to change some things up. I mean, there's instances where you scratch your head and you say, you know, why are we using Fowler as much as we are? Why is Carpenter? Why aren't we switching some of these players out? So we made some changes in game four a little too late. I think you could experiment with that a little bit earlier in the series. You don't have to hold out until you're three games back, you know, in the series.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he stuck with Carpenter maybe a little bit too long. I mean, Carpenter's been very good to St. Louis.
Yes,
he's
has.
Proven himself. And I feel it gave him a fair chance. And you know what? That's a real question mark there. And I'd hate to be a manager and have to make that decision, you know?
No kidding.
I think we should give – I think he's worth another year or better.
Yeah,
I think so. Let's see. You know, like he said, when they won the division, they were popping the champagne. They said, okay, we're popping the champagne here. Let's pop the champagne for this next round, and let's pop the champagne for the World Series.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what next year brings and see what general manager's name. Anyway, see what happens there. Are we going to sign Ozuna? You know, let's give it a chance and see. Maybe, hopefully next year, if everything goes the way the manager's done, track record has, everything else will go along, hopefully next year.
Very good, Kevin. Hey, thank you very much. Yeah, that's going to lead for a lot of interesting sports open lines in the next few days and weeks and months. Whew, lots to look at with this Cardinals team. You got a lot of good things to work with, sure. But there's a lot of question marks of what this team's going to look like next year. We're going to take some more of your calls next. Don't go anywhere. It's 436-7900 locally here in St. Louis. You can call or text that line or anywhere else in the United States. 800-925-1120 on KMOX. Get some more of your calls here tonight on Overnight America. Jim calling in from Pittsburgh. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I'm just calling to say as a Cardinal fan my whole life, naturally, I'm disappointed, but hats off to the Nationals because for four games, their pitching literally was almost unhittable.
Oh, yeah.
And please remember that except for a handful of innings, the Cardinals pitching was pretty darn good too.
Oh, they were great. You look at what we were able to put up there. How many times have we said we wasted a great start on the mound by being able to get no hits? And unfortunately for the Cardinals, it seems like the Nationals brought that every game.
Right. And, you know, this certainly isn't the first time we've gone more than a few games with having trouble hitting the ball. And if you go back to spring training, if you tell me that we're NL Central champions, that means we beat the Cubs and we're going to have a chance to go to the World Series, I'll take it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jim. Good to hear from you. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, why does the Cardinals go through these different droughts of hitting? They did that during the season. They'd do good, and then they'd just have a couple of games in a row. Couldn't hit. Then they change it up. Couldn't hit. It seemed like there was these, it wasn't just here and there. It was they would go through these different droughts, and then they would kick back in. But for this series, they never kicked it on. Tom in Kirkwood. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, very good.
Well, I'm disappointed in the game there, but I tell you what, Mr. John Carney, they gave it their best.
Mr. Carney? How many years has it been since he was on this radio station? It's been how many years? 20 years, maybe?
Is this Guy Phillips?
Guy Phillips. All right, hold on. What was the last year John Carney was on? I'm looking it up now. Hold on. It's probably been since early 2000s, right? It's been a long time. I don't know.
You know, it's been a while. Oh, hey, listen, I just spilt my beer. I got to go. Take care.
Thanks. All right. So the thing is, he's trying to be funny, but it's really not that funny. I get it. John from Arnold. Hey, John, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? It's John, the Ghost Hunter. So,
Man, good to hear from you. So, what's your comments tonight?
We're out actually running across the country, and I was going to tell you it's all good because I am definitely most assuredly not a Cardinals fan. I'm a Royals fan, so I realized about 4 months ago my season was over.
Yeah.
So, but I was going to say that. I predicted nobody really from the National League Central was going to go anywhere. I just think there just was too many. I watched American League more than I do, you know, National League more than I do the Cardinals. But every time I would watch, there were just a lot of holes that I saw. That said, the people calling in, you know, I know it's great to support your team and that's all, and that's all good and everything. But boy, oh boy, that was an embarrassing series. If I was a Cardinals fan, I would be really upset at the way it went down. It was just I didn't think they would go anywhere, but as soon as the Nationals beat the Dodgers, because I kind of had the Dodgers. I know the Dodgers historically just really bomb in the playoffs, but I had the Dodgers and the Yankees actually in the World Series, and when the Nationals beat them, I thought, like, you know, Cardinals had a decent shot. Now that said, the Nationals, you got to feel good for them. Kind of a nice story, and they've been a heck of a team all year long too, but I really expected a lot more out of them. So if I was a fan, I'd be a little ticked off right now. But I would say this, you know, hey, it's Blues, you know, hockey going right now and everything. And I know St. Louis has embraced the Chiefs. I'm a Chiefs, big, huge Chiefs fan. So there are other things to look to, I guess. So there's always next year. And I've said many times, boy, wouldn't it be nice to have an I-70 series again? That would be a heck of a lot of fun.
Wouldn't that be? All right. And a different outcome than the last time, I guess.
We're good with the outcome last time.
Well, I thought the Kansas City, was it 85 you're referring to? Someone texted in about
85,
that.
85, yeah. When the Royals won the World Series. I'm a Royals fan. Here,
oh,
so.
You're a Royals fan. Okay, so now I get the point of reference. All right, thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks,
John. Bye. Oh, that's good. We're going to have John back on the air. I've been meaning to message him back, and we did that whole special where he did his ghost hunting special, and we got something special planned for Halloween night, which I'm looking forward to him coming back in. So I'm going to, John, if you're still listening, I'm going to message you back, but we will have you back on. Let's go to Big Al. Hi.
What up, buddy?
Hey, Big Al.
At least we're not from Detroit like your team is. So there, that's a good thing. And Mr. Arnold, stay in Arnold, because in 85, we were robbed. If we had replay, you would have one trophy and like it. So your season was over at game one. And by the way, I'm a Raiders fan. Chiefs suck. Raiders for life. What's up, buddy?
You're just putting it all out there right now, aren't you?
Hey, I'm not trying to be funny because I love you, but Frankie's gathered around waiting for a muffin. So I just want to tell you that my girl went to heaven. She used to listen to you, Jeannie. Yeah. And I'm getting better every day.
Oh, good.
And we got a celebration Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to tell the Camo X family, Ackerman and Raby and everybody, Quaves, they love her. She was an angel. Mm-hmm. And why she married me is I have no idea. But, hey, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
But I told all my friends about you, my boys back here from Atlanta. I told them about you. Great American. And welcome to town. And my Frankie, who sits in front of the radio like the RCA dog when you come on, because he's stealing everything from muffins
just
to
Barbie. Waiting. He's just waiting.
Yeah. And he loves you. So
you know what?
I just want to tell you I love you.
All right. Thanks, Miguel. But,
I just want to tell you, you know what? Guess what?
What?
Run Pocahontas against my Trumpy, please, because I'm Cherokee and I'm more Indian than her.
You know, we're going to talk debate here later. Yeah, we're going to have to.
They asked Kasich to go, do you think we need to look into Hunter Biden? You know what? I think you're just chasing a dead end there. You know what? Because he's getting millions from everybody, and just because he come off of Air Force Two does not mean he's influencing everybody. Come on, man.
Yeah. You know, hey, Big Al, I'm so glad you called in. And can I tell you a quick story? This is a stupid story. It's probably not worth telling, but my father-in-law's
a... Well, coming from you. You're from Detroit. We'll go with it.
Well, my father-in-law's a mail carrier. Well, it was. He retired a couple of years back, but he always carried a box of dog bones with him, and anytime he was on his route, he'd give the dog bones to the dogs, and the dogs would love him. So when it was time for him to deliver the mail, the dogs would wait for that dog bone. None of them would bark. They would all wait and anticipate getting a little treat. And he was like the most popular guy in that block with those animals. I feel like that's the way I'm with your dog. I'm like the mailman. And every time the show comes on, the dog waits for you to call in to know that he's about to steal your treat.
He's listening to you right now. Tell Orek you love him. Good. Tough. He loves it, Brad. We do too.
Thanks,
God
Big
bless
Al.
It.
All right, we'll
Get
see
him.
You.
All right.
Bye. God love Big Al. You know, you can search Big Al St. Louis in Google. Search engine or whatever, and there's a couple of pictures of him that pops up. So if you ever wondered what Big Al looks like, it's pretty easy to find a nice little picture right on there, including one with him and David Letterman. All right, well, we're going to look at your weather in a moment. Next hour, I think we're going to have to save this for the last hour of the show. It's going to be a recap of the Democratic debates. I have an interview with Rich Rubino, a friend of ours that we bring on Mondays normally, but since last night I was sick, we're bringing him on tonight, and he's going to talk about the Democratic debate. What a depressing night, seriously. It was a no-win situation for me. I was trying to pay attention to the game. I was trying to pay attention to the Democratic debate. No wins. Also, Kristen Arnold's going to join us and talk about how the moderators perform tonight. Coming up next, maybe if we look at something positive, St. Louis Blues were at the White House. I have some great audio from their time at the White House, and it looked like they were enjoying themselves. Looked like Donald Trump was enjoying themselves. I think Donald Trump enjoyed having a world championship team there after some of the other leagues have declined. It was cool to see the Blues there. We're going to talk about that next on KMOX. Overnight America here with you all across the United States. Thank you for hanging out with us. I know it's something that you may do just as a reflex, but if you're someone that's new and you've never listened to this program before, thank you for giving us a try. This is what I would say to you. Give us at least a month, okay? Try to listen to us at least a month and make sure you like it. That's all I ask. 1 month. You know, some ask for only 1 day. I ask for a full month. Earlier today in Washington, there was a winning team there. It wasn't the Cardinals. It was the St. Louis Blues. Meeting with President Trump at the White House, they were able to present President Trump with his St. Louis Blues jersey to commemorate their visit there and also bring the Stanley Cup. And it was fun to watch the video of this. I don't know if you were actually watching this online, but it was a nice ceremony. And you can tell President Trump had no idea who any of these people were. He did an all right job trying to pronounce these names. Hockey names are not always the easiest names to pronounce. Berube, that's not an easy name. If you read it on when you give him a little bit of leeway, but it was good to see the Blues there. you know, the NBA, the NFL, and some of these other leagues, they refuse to go to the White House and they refuse to do this whole ceremony. I'm glad the NHL participates, and I'm glad that the St. Louis Blues decided to participate. And if you missed it from earlier, you can actually find the video at KMOX.com, but I do have some highlights.
Mr. President, on behalf of the St. Louis Blues organization and all of our fans back in St. Louis, the other members of our ownership group here today, our whole team, including the on-ice team and the rest of the Blues organization, we'd like to present you this jersey.
Thank you very much. Wow. Whoa.
This is our Stanley Cup championship jersey. I think it'll be just right on the golf course.
All right, so that's beautiful. See, that's beautiful. That's Tom Stillman. President Trump had a couple of words, like with Jordan Binnington. Now, this is good. This is the good type of personality you would hope from President Trump.
The Bruins took 33 shots on net during the game, and the Blues rookie goaltender, that's pretty good. Jordan Binnington, where's Jordan? Jordan, I got to find, come here. He stopped 32 of 33. So why didn't you stop the other one, Jordan? You could have made the game a lot easier. Come on.
Yeah, first off, you know, that's my bad, I guess. could have had a shutout there. But, you know, we went all that way, so we had to finish the job. And
you did it.
It was a great game, and, yeah,
fantastic.
We're happy we're here. Thanks.
So have you always had good reflexes?
I guess so.
If you didn't, you'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
If you didn't, it wouldn't
be pretty.
I don't
think I'd be here.
No. I don't think you'd be here, right?
No.
That's right. Great job, Jordan. Thank you very much.
Isn't that fun to hear that type of interaction?
32
I like this.
Of 33. I guess that's good. Commissioner, that's pretty good, right? I think so. Jordan, your outstanding 97% save percentage held Boston to a single goal. That's pretty good, huh? After 52 years, the Blues finally and triumphantly raised the Stanley Cup. That's amazing. 52 years, and you did it in seven, huh, Camille?
You know, and there's a couple of moments, too, where you wonder if he's ever seen a hockey game in his life, but it doesn't matter because he was saying the right things and he was doing the right things. And this is the type of side of Donald Trump you really don't see too often. Normally, it's just the let's pound the negatives as much as possible. But it's good to see the lighter side. And how about this? President Trump talking about Alexander Steen.
Look at that guy. Look at that mouth of that guy. Come here a minute. Come here. Come here. You think he's taken a few hits? Huh? You think he's tough? You think I could take him in a fight? I don't know.
The Steen.
Wow.
Wow. Is right.
How did mine look?
I like how he started it. I mean, we could use that clip on the show.
Look at that guy. Look at that mouth of that guy. Come here.
Look at that mouth. Look at the mouth on that guy. And, of course, you can't travel without giving a little bit of recognition to the Blues' number one fan.
With the series tied at 3-3, the Blues headed to Boston for the final showdown against a great team. Watching from the bleachers was your biggest fan, 11-year-old Layla Anderson, who is here with us today. Where's Layla? Layla, stand up. Come on up here, Layla. Come on up here.
I like that. Come on up, Layla. That's great.
Good job. Hi.
Oh, my gosh. Come on up. I like how he does that.
So you all know Layla. Layla is a bigger celebrity than our two senators. They just hope that she's not going to be running against them someday. But it's a really an extraordinary story of a very heroic young woman. Throughout the season, Layla was bravely battling an extremely rare life-threatening immune disease called HLH. Blues players visited her in the hospital constantly, and they hosted a bone marrow registry drive to help her get life-saving treatment. Layla's mother, Heather, said, who's here, these boys are what keeps her going. They're just incredible, incredible young men. Thank you very much for being here. Very, very nice.
Is that nice? Nice?
Layla received a bone marrow transplant in January and was strong enough to cheer the team on to victory in the final game.
Yeah. What a moment for Layla. And she really did inspire the city of St. Louis, didn't she? I know they run those commercials now, not for Shriners, but they run the commercials for Children's Hospital. And it shows Layla ringing the bell, and she inspired a city. And It's absolutely true. I like how President Trump said, don't run up against the senators. You'll beat them. Ain't that the truth? Vote for Layla. Wonder what her future has in store. One other moment from earlier today I wanted to play for you with President Trump and Ryan O'Reilly.
When the puck dropped, the Blues did not strike right away. You only knew it took one shot on goal until the final minutes of the first period. Then Stanley Cup MVP. What happened to Jaden with all the gorgeous? I think Jaden should be the MVP. No, I'm only kidding. Where's Ryan? Ryan O'Reilly. Come in. That's pretty good. Say a couple of words. Thanks, Ryan. That's enough.
Well, I couldn't do it without these guys behind me. And we're a great team, and it was a heck of a run.
And you're not Irish, are you, buddy?
I am.
Great going, Ryan. Ryan O'Reilly scored the first goal of the game and became the first player since Wayne Gretzky, a great guy, really fantastic guy, in 1985 to score four consecutive cup final games. He scored in all of them. Ryan, congratulations on winning the Conn Smythe Trophy.
Very cool. Isn't that nice? So when I watched that, I thought, thank goodness, I needed a little positivity in my life right about now, and it seemed to fill that void. If you wanted to watch the full video, yes, it is worth your time to watch that video. You can find it at KMOX.com. Coming up next, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame have their nominees out. If you haven't heard yet, we'll talk about that and some of the biggest snobbed nominees. In fact, some of these names you wonder, how in the world can Dave Matthews Band get on, but this band can't? And I'll give you my best Dave Matthews Band impersonation coming up. I think they're the most annoying of the bands of any of them. Why in the world are they getting a nomination to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I'll never know. The whole process is so flawed. I hate it all. We're going to talk about that next. In next hour, right after 1 o'clock, we're going to welcome on our friends Rich Rubino and Kristen Arnold to talk about the debates tonight. It's Overnight America, KMOX. And welcome back. I'm going to give you a terrible Dave Matthews Band impersonation. I just think they are the most overrated. I don't understand their appeal. I really don't. But now they are in the bucket to be grabbed out to be Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. Why? So here's the 2020 nominees. And I've talked to Rock and Roll Hall of Famers about this. I talked to Alice Cooper about this. He said the people that decide who's on the ballot, who's going to be voted on to be put into it, it's a small knit group and there's a lot of politics. So it's like you have to play the game in order to get in there. And the ones that don't play the game are the ones that get left off every year that should be in it. And you see Alice Cooper was like that for so many years, but he finally got in. So here's the names of the rock and roll bands and performers that are now at least nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Pat Benatar, Dave Matthews Band, Doobie Brothers, Motorhead, the Notorious B.I.G. They do this every year. They throw in someone that's not rock. It's so stupid. Soundgarden, T-Rex, Thin Lizzy, and Whitney Houston. Because when everyone thinks of rock and roll, they think Whitney Houston. Those are the ones that have had some first-time nominations. Some returning nominees, Depeche Mode, Judas Priest, Kraftwerk, MC5, Nine Inch Nails, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, and Todd Rundgren. Why? Okay, I'm going to give you my terrible, terrible, terrible impersonation of Dave Matthews Band. Are you ready? Here's a clip of it. He wakes up in the morning. Because when I hear that, I immediately think, oh yeah, rock and roll, man. Does his teeth bite to eat and he's rolling. I can't even play the clip long enough to tolerate it. I'm getting sick again. I'm going to have to call off the rest of the show. Yesterday, I wasn't feeling so good. Now I'm starting to feel better. Then you play Dave Matthews Band, and it's like yesterday all over again. Ugh. He sounds like an alley cat that is just out in the cold and trying to find a warm place for the next fishbone to eat. All right, so here's my Dave Matthews Band impersonation. I think it's dead on. I don't think you can tell the difference between Dave Matthews and me. Ah, so bad. Now, if you're listening to these bands and you're wondering, okay, who could have been nominated but are continuing to be left off of the list? Okay, let's look. Iron Maiden. A lot of you 1980s style rockers, the ones that had a Trans Am and you had an 8-track tape deck right inside of it, or your 81 Camaro, man, it didn't get any better than that. Yes, these are the type of bands you'd have listened to on Keishi in the 1980s and would have gone crazy. Over the weekend, I attended Brett Bloom's memorial, and they were playing his favorite music, which was a lot of these 1980s rock bands. And it made me think, when I was reading these Rock and Roll Hall of Fame snubs, how disappointed Brett would have been. So let's go over some of these. Iron Maiden, not nominated. Motley Crue, The Scorpions, Megadeth, Twisted Sister. I want to rock! That would be cool if they got on. Twisted Sister had a much bigger, significant role in music. And if you don't recall this, it was a couple of musicians that were brought in to testify in front of Congress when it came to free speech. It was John Denver, Frank Zappa, and Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. All of them stood in front of Congress when they were trying to censor musicians because they didn't like the content of the songs, and they stood up for free speech. This is the 1980s. Dee Snider, Twisted Sister, someone that goes on the stage in drag, was the one defending free speech. Think about that for a moment. So I think his role and significance to music would warrant a nomination to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Duran Duran off the list. New York Dolls, punk royalty like the Stooges and Velvet Underground, they said. Jethro Tull really surprises me. I'm very surprised Jethro Tull hasn't received a nomination. Slayer, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. That's very surprising, too. Purple Harum. They had some great hits. Purple Harum. Bad Company. What? How is Bad Company, one of the big super groups, not on that list? These are just so disappointing. When you read who was nominated this year, how in the world can they put on, for example, Notorious B.I.G.? How in the world can they put into the conversation Dave Matthews Band, but leave off Ozzy Osbourne? Yeah, his solo career was as big as Black Sabbath's, but yet not on the list. Peter Frampton, not on the list. Warren Zevon, not on the nominee list. There's a lot of musicians that could be on that list, all deserving to be on that list, not on that list. So let me give you a couple of examples of, let's, Depeche Mode, Enjoy the Silence from 1990. It's funny because some of these bands I've heard of, but I have no idea. Like if someone were to say, I'll give you $10,000 if you can name three of their songs, I wouldn't be able to do that for, some of these, most of these, really. Even Whitney Houston. I don't even know more than like one Whitney Houston song. Didn't she do I Will Always Love You based on that one soundtrack where she was carried off the bodyguard? All right, so let's see. Doobie Brothers. See, Doobie Brothers had some big hits. Blackwater and What a Fool Believes is a good one. Whitney Houston. Yeah, 1992 number one hit, I Will Always Love You. I couldn't name another Whitney Houston song. Judas Priest. You got another thing coming from 82. Wow. MC5, Kick Out the Jams. See, I don't know that one. That was from 1969. Wow. Motorhead, never had a top 100 hit. See, this is hilarious to me. All of these bands that have accomplished and have been staples of the rock genre over the years, and you'd have heard on rock radio and really still continue to draw crowds today. Yeah, Motorhead has their crowd. They have no top 100 hits. Doesn't that say something? Shouldn't that dictate a little bit of their worthiness to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, or at least a first-time ballot? Notorious B.I.G., Hypnotize from 1997. I guess I heard that one before. But I see the Tell Me Something Good, the Chaka Khan with Rufus. Todd Rundgren, Hello, It's Me from 1973. That kind of rhymes. See, Soundgarden's an interesting one because their lead singer just passed away last year, or was it 2 years ago? And Chris Cornell was one of those big-time performers. He ends up, I believe it was committing suicide, and it was right before a big show in Columbus. And then after that, they were going to perform here in St. Louis, one of the radio stations, rock stations in town. We're going to bring him in. Real tragic there. Thin Lizzy, the boys are back in town. T-Rex, bang a gong, get it on, was a number 10 hit. So you, you hear some of these things, and you look through there, and you scratch your head, and you wonder, what really is going on behind the scenes of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? How much politics are involved with getting your name on that ballot? And the answer is 100%, 100% politics. How could you leave an Ozzy Osbourne off of it? You know, one of the biggest rock stars of all time. In fact, maybe the biggest rock star of all time. Come on now. His mugshot, he's wearing a St. Louis Blues shirt. Does it get any more rock star than that? Biting the heads off of bats or whatever it is. Even the persona of rock. He's in there with Black Sabbath, but... So that's the list. You can go find that online anywhere, really. I don't know exactly when they plan on doing the voting or at least releasing, but six of this year's 16 nominees have never won a Grammy. If Biggie Smalls is inducted, he'd become just the second solo rapper to join after Tupac was inducted in 2017. Again, why do they, the rock, rock as a genre, it's weird. They always seem to have to bow down to hip-hop, like somehow hip-hop was influential in a lot of these rockers. I don't think so. I think mostly they just do it to try to get people to talk about it, and I fall prey to it as well. All right, coming up in the next hour, earlier tonight, the DNC had another debate. There was 12 people on stage. How did they perform? Our friend Rich Rubino is going to join us. We're going to recap that coming up. And we're also going to talk to Kristen Arnold. How did CNN handle it? How did the New York Times handle it? A couple of criticisms for them. Don't forget, too, you can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast by going to KMOX.com/ONA. And if you want to help the show, let's say you want to go that little extra effort because you listen every night and you're one of the super, super awesome listeners. That's how you get to that classification. If you want to be a super duper listener, this is what you need to do. Pick up your smartphone, okay, and you probably have one, and open up your podcast app. It only takes like 10 seconds to do this. Well, 30 seconds. Once you find your podcast app that's on every Apple or Android phone, open it up, search for Overnight America. My face pops up, okay? Leave a nice review of the radio show. Somehow, when you leave reviews of things, positive reviews, it helps other people discover the show. We certainly want more people to listen, more people discover it that way. Go ahead. We'd appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.